Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners, get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is soon to come.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
To be able to come across these skyways and airways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and pray that all was well in your family circle, and I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. And I want to just take at liberty this time to send condolences out to those of you that have lost loved ones. May it be in the high flooding waters of Carolina, to the injured one at the college, and also those of you that had family members that had been ill for a matter of time. We want to send condolences out to you, you and you. And may God strengthen you and bring about restoration for your soul. God bless you. All right, we're going to now go into our intro prayer. And as I always say, that when we come across these skyways, we introduce unto you and present to others our Lord and our Savior. He's our soon coming Messiah, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's a native of Nazareth. And so at this time, we want to set aside an opening prayer to acknowledge Jesus at this time. And I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come before your throne of grace, God, with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity, God, again around the spectrum. For we know that this earthly soil that we're now have our feet planted upon is not our eternal destination. But until you crack those clouds, one of these old historical mornings, we will continue in your will, continue on your way, God, in the way that you would have us to go. We will mount up, God, from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. I want to be able to bring a rhema word, God, to those. Then I might want to bring a word again to those that may not have an idea of who you are. I want to set something to demagnetize their mind on tonight. Hallelujah. So some of those, God, that don't know you in the pardons of their iniquity, God, grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom. To those that are hurting deep in the epitome of their souls, Father God, we'd be so mindful to give your name the glory and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple say amen and amen. All right, we're coming right back with the second part of our sermon on last evening, and entitled was Abraham the Father of all believers. And that's part two, and that is our conclusion of this sermon on tonight. So we're going to go right back to our first key scripture, and it reads like this: as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which not as though they were. That scripture reading, discovery out of the law of Romans 4:17 of the King James Version Bible. So we know that Father Abraham had enough faith for the whole earth. Can you imagine that? One man's mindset to go into the unknown. I mean, totally dumbfounded of where he's going. A destitute. No money. No food. But is told just to go. You know, that's, boy, that's, I mean, that's faith. Woo, my God. That is faith. Oh, man. I just can't even put the words into perspective. Oh, my God. That is some faith. I mean, faith. Up on faith right there. And so we was talking about the faith that this one man had. And we come to find out that as Christians, on this Christian journey, we're going to be tested. Matter of fact, we are tested every day in some sort of way. Maybe at your job, you're tested. They are testing you to see how sanctified and holy you are. They want to see if they can get you to use profound language in your workspace and in your work area, so they can say, oh, she's not as holy as she made out to be because she's now using profanity. So they are sick, demonic individuals that have the demonic spirits upon you to test your faith in God. You might even be tested through your spouse that may not know God. You know, you might be tested through your unsaved children, you know, your unsaved grandparents that reared you. They might even test your faith to see if they can make you uncomfortable. But that is the same way that Father of faith, and he is the Father Abraham, is the man of the hour that we're talking about tonight. We are told that he's the father of you and I and all believers that tends to exist here and now. And we come to find out that as Christians we often confuse our worldly confidence with the life of faith. We know that day after day, you and I, we live like we have faith in God, yet our actions often shows that we depend primarily upon our own ability. And that is what we do in our today's world. We don't want to rely on a mighty power that is bigger, that is more powerful than you and I. But we want to rely on our own contingency as to I will, you know, do things the way I'm normally used to doing things, you know. I don't know anything about, you know, trusting in God. All I know is I just try to keep money in the bank, you know, and I just try to keep my head above water, as some might say. But I want to encourage you on this evening is that the reason that you are able to keep money in your banking account, in your saving account, in your trust fund, in your 401k is because of God's power. His ability to keep you and I and us afloat every day, keeping your power on, keeping your water on, keeping the bills that you have racked up, paid, and on time. It's not because of something you've done, but it's the reason that God loves you. God makes provision for you and I. God makes a way of escape. So we know that aside from God, we can do nothing and we are nothing. I will say that one more time. Aside from Almighty God, you and I are nothing and we can do absolutely, positively nothing. Because, see, God owns the banks. He owns the money in the vault, in the bank. He owns all the financial institutions. He owns Wall Street. He owns Capitol Hill. He owns Washington, D.C. God owns you and I. We are bought with a price. Over 2,000 light years ago, a man named Jesus was his father, the only begotten son, was the only he was the only recipient that had any sin, because the recipient had to be sinless. He had to be blemishless. So God was the only candidate that was sinless, meaning he had any sin up on him. Neither was a guile found in his mouth. So we come to know that Jesus is holy. So it had to be a holy candidate to be honor sufficient sacrifice for yours and mine and our sins. So everything that you and I have, it's because of God's sovereignty, God's grace, love, and mercy. And so, like I said, that we want to go on our own capabilities and what you and I can do. Hallelujah. But we know that God called Abraham to perform the actions of faith on, hallelujah, the mountain of Moriah. And God called Abraham. He told him to give up all of his hopes and his dreams for a future based on the very Son of God. He had given him, why would God demand that Abraham sacrifice Isaac? And I believe that the answer to this ancient question illuminates the heart of faith. We find out that God demands that we give up trusting in the very thing that he give us. That means our family, our future plans, potential and power. All things must be sacrificed on the altar, so that we can learn that God alone is our source. And so we must move self out of the way. We must move ourselves out of the equation. So move self out of the way and move God in the way of your natural and spiritual life. We know this is a difficult for us to learn because we are builders and creators, always believing in our potential, hallelujah, and our ability to do things on our own terms. Our ability does not contradict our faith, but they often blind us to the truth. That our faith teaches us that God is the source of our strength and hope. We know that trusting God acknowledged God's love in our lives. And we know that Abraham trusted in God, allowed him to see God's faithfulness. But it will never, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. But if we never trust God, we will never see the love of God for us. Hallelujah. We know that our slave for our parents, in the midst of terrible pain and suffering, they echoed disbelief in their wounds and deeds. They believed that they experienced, hallelujah, the experiencing God, his love, was the gift that accompanied acts of faith. We know that faith-based actions will cause us to say again and again in the face of our needs, God alone will provide. Sometimes we can't see a way. We just don't see. There is no absolute way that I can get out of this mess that I'm in. It's just no way. It's no way I can come up with those kind of thoughts. But by faith, God is able to make your impossible possible. Hallelujah. We know that God calls you and I, hallelujah, to the mountain of sacrifice so that we would know the divine purpose for the redemption of this world. And there we also encountered God's loving promise never, ever to forsake you and I. So we must know when our doctor fail us, when our husband and our wife fail us, when our siblings fail us, when our children fail us, when our co-worker and our managers and our bosses and our executives and our business partners fail us, grandparents fail us, our own kids fail us, we can look to the one that has a track record of excellence. He has never lost a case, and he never will. He's never lost a match, boxing match in the ring. He always come out with a technical knockout. So I would advise you, instead of putting all your eggs in one basket, to believe on God who owns the basket. Put your trust in the man that makes the basket possible. Because when he took 5 loaves of bread and 3 fishes, and he fed more than 5,000 people with just that little food, God blessed it, and then he extended it. And then guess what? He even had leftovers. So we're serving a God that has a track record of excellence. He never fails, and he never will fail you and I. All we must do is trust God when you cannot trace him. Trust him. Hallelujah. And we know that with God, there is no halfway measures. This concern is not only that we may have life, but that you and I might have it to the full. You can read that in the law of John 10 and 10. We are faced constantly, therefore, with the needs to intensify our faith or to deepen the generosity of the favor. But we know that if we depend upon God's call, and all there is an inherent, an apostolic dimension for our own faith, is the only ultimate support which you and I can help others to believe. It may well be the development of true faith in a man of today's world. Receive less support from social and ecclesiastic structure than in the past. We know that as a result, we may feel a certain estrangement, a lack of affirmation by others at such times. It might help you and I to recall Abraham, who in his days really was alone, the only man in the whole wide world who believed. That's why he is the father of all believers. Abraham, hallelujah, the only man in the whole wide world who believed. Woo, my God. He had no external support whatsoever. Nor did he find any confirmation of that which he had and was accepting. So God wants you and I to do so. Let us not complain. We know the conviction that not only our own personal good, but also the well-being of others. It really depends upon our faith, your and I, and my faith, that can stimulate a certain generosity and impulse in action. And we look back in the moment and time of one of our beloved presidents. His name was John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and he was summarizing on the Americans to a new confidence in the task to be accomplished. He urged them not to ask what their country could do for them, but rather to ask what they could do for their country. We know that this too must be our question, not what support the community can give you and I in the matter of faith, but what support and encouragement we can give the community. We know that the service of helping each other to believe may be the best and most authentic service you and I can ever render. We know that it is not easy to believe, but if we can help each other in this, we shall have accomplished much for the well-being of all. Hallelujah. We know that mankind is carried and supported by a Abrahamic minority who have the courage to hope against all hope. Hallelujah. We know that we find out that Abraham, hallelujah, Abraham prayed like a Jew. But we don't have to worry about how he prayed, because how he prayed is only his business and God's business alone. We don't worry about how each other pray, because you're praying to God in your own moment, in your own region area. So we know that Abraham had a personal response of faith. And you and I must let each other pray in his or own way. But we find out that Abraham had been transformed into a believer. He had grown in concern for the people around him, his compassion in the city where they dwelt. We find out that his prayer showed a trust, which we may call bold until we remember Christ's parable. He had an important friend who at midnight had knocked at the door. And we are told that his prayer was finally rewarded with the bread that he needed. We know that Abraham is one. Hallelujah. With the lesson of Christ to his followers. Perseverance is at once a condition and a sign of growth in our faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that God had put Abraham through the test in the law of Genesis 22 and 1 and 19 of our discovery. We are told that in one way or another, faith must also face a test. And like I said, you and I, in our everyday journey, in our everyday lives, may it be our private lives or our social lives, we are tested by something or someone. We are tested daily. So the word of encouragement offered by Judah in a moment of great trial for the Israelites showed how well the Jews had learned this lesson. So God wants you and I, hallelujah, to have faith like our Father of all believers. His name is Abraham. Hallelujah. Heroic man of faith. We must believe God in spite of all odds. In spite of we got an eviction notice. In spite of we got a shutout notice. In spite of we have a lawsuit that has been appointed before the judge. We must believe that God is. He said he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must put our faith not in ourselves, but put our faith in God. Hallelujah. So let us give thanks to the Lord, our God, who as he tested our ancestors is now testing you and I. Remember how he treated Abraham, all the ordeal of Isaac and all that had happened to Jacob and Sarah. We know that all of these ordeals was intended by him to search the hearts. So now this is not vengeance. We know that God exacts against us, but it's a warning inflicted by the Lord on those who are near and who are dear to his very heart. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Judges 8:25 through 27. So we know that a test is part of faith. As Christ himself repeats, every branch that does not bear fruit, he proves to make it bear even more. Abraham's test was particularly severe. The 3 days that Abraham spent on his way to the place of sacrifice were without doubt the most agonizing days of his life. We are told that this God in whom he had placed his trust was only a very newly found friend. Abraham did not yet know him, not that well. But he had been reared in a paganism family. And so we are told that human sacrifice was not uncommon. But it could well be that this new God of his, whose name he did not, hallelujah, he did not even know, was not so very different from the God of his early years. Hallelujah. We are told that in Hebrew, he thought a name assumed tremendous importance. But it was not until the time of Moses that God revealed his name to men. Until that time, he was simply the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. He was still the unknown God. And Abraham, in this moment of supreme trial, had no one to whom he could turn for guidance. In matters of faith, he is the pioneer. And the only thing he really knows is that this unknown God is reliable. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask you, in my digital listening audience, perhaps this is the essence of faith, to be convinced of the reability of God, we know that we are to trust God when we can't trace Him. When God tells us to go, our embrace and remark should be, "Yea, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I will say what you want me to say." And in closing, we have come to the conclusion of Abraham, the father of all believers, part two. I hope and I pray that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infused your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf. You almost certainly encourage us in your correspondence, the God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal, Digital, Worldwide Ministry. You can go to www.JaniceWardMinistry.org. You can send your remittance to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. This program has been the old ship of Zion. So until we meet again across these skyways and airways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. I'm encouraging you to have a Abraham kind of faith. Go in God as God go in you. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now bring you hymns of Zion to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. Bye for now. Listen up, hymns of Zion.
Break every chain. Sing our God reigns. gotta have endurance, 'cause it's a marathon. I was born, shown up to win, in pursuit with faith, until the end. I'm going to have a that your life is done.
The best
oh my.
Is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. On the way, I see your eagle, I see you flying high.